Okay, so this episode has been a really long time coming. Nadia K is an incredible motivator, mentor, life coach, and just human being. She has treated me with the utmost kindness and respect since the get-go, and I'm so happy that I've been able to learn from and connect with such a wonderful woman. I hope that you enjoy this episode as much as I do. Nadia Khalil is a Palestinian American born in Chicago, Illinois, who was raised Muslim. As an adult, Nadia began having experiences she ultimately recognized as conversations with Christ. They were so powerful, she began recording them in a journal. Her writings are taken from those experiences. Through her books and writings, Nadia takes your soul on a journey of self-discovery that will ultimately lead you to live in a state of utmost truth, love, and purity. She is recognized as a renowned international speaker. Hi, dearest lovelies. So today I'm here with Nadia, and Nadia is extremely talented. She has her website full of amazing tools and resources for people that are going through so many challenges in spirituality. I really love what she does and her work because it's just so life-changing. And I feel like it really niches well with what we do at here, Dear Lovely Universe. So I'm really excited to welcome Nadia to Dear Lovely Universe for an amazing, what I'm sure will be an amazing interview.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being here. This Dear Lovely Universe is something that I'm real happy to walk into.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. So let's just start with you say you're a soul alignment activator. Can you talk about that?
That's something that at first I was like, well, that's pretty darn bold to say. But the truth is, the only thing that differentiates us is our soul. It has all of our information in it. And we don't really pay attention to the fact of what that really means to us. It's what makes me and you. But there's something about my life, something about who I am as a person. That when I work with people, it's like I activate them, and their lives start getting better. It's like a sieve, you put all the contents in your life and it starts shaking, and everything you don't need starts just leaving you. And the stuff you need is fewer things, but you are like, wow, I have time to deal with myself. I have time to look at myself. Gosh, I've always known that. And you start seeing your power. So
Totally.
I activate that in us.
Yeah, that's so cool that you, and I really do, I've seen it with how our conversations have gone. You really do have this amazing power to get to the root of that person and help them align themselves with their passions and their higher self.
That's true, because what I found out is depression is when our passion is squashed. Because then we don't know who we are without our passion. So we feel like someone pulled our plug and we don't know where to plug our plug back in. And I realized the source was our passion. So I've devoted my life, I've been doing this for 18 years now, about waking up that passion. Because it's not like we just have one passion or one dream. Once we have a dream and we accomplish that dream, let's say you want to write a book and then you're like, okay, I wrote the book, now what? But then you have another dream, and they get bigger and stronger, and your ability to face our dreams rather than run away from them and sabotage ourselves is where I work with people. I see your potential. And then when I hear someone talking, I can see exactly why they couldn't climb the ladder to their potential.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you feel like you kind of bring out in people what's already there?
I believe that I have never taught anyone anything they didn't already know. I know that all I've done was remind you of who you are, who you were before anybody ever said the word no to you and made you realize that something wasn't possible. You know, like, well, you can't do that. And you're like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And then you started realizing there's a lot of things you can't do, or other people would be upset if you did them. Mm-hmm. Or you wouldn't have support to do it. Or, you know, there's a million reasons why we don't do anything. But there's only one reason why we do, and that's our passion.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like in our modern day societies, just as a collective in general, less people are going after their passions. And I just think that the world would be such a more, maybe not more beautiful, but more, maybe more coherent if people actually did follow their passions. Because I heard someone say, God or whatever you guys believe in wouldn't give you this dream if you weren't capable of achieving it.
That's true. We are capable of way more than we do. When we get used to not paying attention to what really makes us happy, and we kind of in a weird way, we dumb ourselves down to be able to accepting that we are not going to chase our strength. Mm-hmm. Because our passion is where we are strongest. If we like working with people, there's a million jobs around that. If we like gardening, there's a million jobs around that. If we like writing, but we have to create. If something doesn't exist, we can create it. How many times have we looked at someone and said, not only did they think of it, but they did it.
Mm-hmm.
They did it. And then we all want to know how, because now we want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But by now in our history, at this point in our history, you could find out how to do anything. And you have to start.
Definitely. Definitely. I think that when people see that the achievements and success that other people are able to create for themselves, they get really inspired. And then some people start to think, oh, maybe they're just lucky, or that's just too hard for me, or this thing is just too saturated. And what I think is everybody is made for more. Just because one person is doing amazing at what they do doesn't dim your light. Honestly, I think focusing on other people's success only hinders your success, because you're focusing on other people, not yourself.
I think just focusing on success hurts us.
Mm-hmm.
Focusing on doing what we love is our success. But if we can only think about what it's going to do once we're done, the trail to get there is going to be nothing but bothersome for us. It's going to bother us. It's going to be like, oh, I have to do that to get there. Oh, I have to do that to get there. Not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But success is understanding that you love or you cannot help doing what you want to do. Even if you put it off, it gnaws at you. And the best example I could give of that, when my book was getting published, my second book, I had to write the intro that morning. And that morning, I happened to wake up to negative $400 in the bank, if you could imagine. And I had to sit there and think to myself, okay, I'm always the one to pull out the best of every moment. I'm really upset right now. Like, my heart is beating and I don't know how I'm gonna recover that $400 and then get in the plus. Like, where am I gonna get money from today? At the time I was married, my husband had leukemia. I had 6 kids, 4 that were his and 2 that were mine. And I was running out of food in the cupboard. And I honestly did not know how. But then I started writing, which I love to do. So I started the intro with, I'm writing this introduction and I am negative $400 in the bank. As I was writing, I go, man, this is really gonna make the story better. The story just gets better and better. Because I could have woken up and said, I can't write the intro today. I gotta run out and do this and do that. But I trusted. I told myself that, you know what? By 5 o'clock tonight, I'll have this solved. And I just started writing. And by 5 o'clock that night, I did have it solved. Mm-hmm. We have to know that the capability we have, no one can give us. And until we're in a situation like that, you don't know what you're willing to do what you love to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so great that you trusted in yourself and you knew that the problem would resolve itself and went ahead and did it anyway. And that's what winners do. Not just winners, but the people who believe in themselves and know that this is their calling and have faith in the universe and whatever force that they believe in. So
the calling part, knowing what your calling is. Mm-hmm. Your calling is that you're here.
Yeah.
And while you are here, geez, what do you want to do? I know it sounds funny and I'm simplifying it, but no, really, I'm not. What do I want to do while I'm here? Hey, I get to be each age for 1 year. I get to be 15 for 1 year. I get to be 17 for 1 year. How do I want to represent that year?
Exactly.
What do I want to say about 19 when I'm 29? Do I want to say, oh, back then I just sat around and, you know, or I'll be like, man, 19 was a great year. But if you could think ahead like that, you're giving yourself a fighting chance today.
Definitely. It's so true. And I think one of the things that I often think about is I try to really live in the moment, because if we don't live in the, I think in my experience, living in the moment just makes me feel so much more liberated in my life. I feel much more grateful. And I see the way that I treat people around me, I feel like improves because I acknowledge their existence. I acknowledge what they're doing. I acknowledge myself for how much, I think hard isn't the best word, but how much I do for myself and for my you know, my dreams or just stuff like that in general. I think living in the moment and you know, having a sight on what it is that you want to do, and going back to what you're saying about, you know, we're on earth and what do we want to do here? I think that is such an important question. I think just in general, people, once they get to a certain age, they start thinking, what job do I want to do? And they think about, oh, this job brings in a lot of money. This job seems like a pretty stable career. But they don't actually ask themselves, what do I want to do? Like, what really fuels my heart? And I think that is something we should all be asking ourselves.
We should be asking from day one. I remember my daughter when she was four, and she'd go to these birthday parties, and every time she'd go to a birthday party, there was a clown. And she associated clowns with people that were happy. Mm-hmm. So she comes to me and she's like, "Mom, I want to be a clown one day." And at the time I go, "You want to be a clown?" And she's like, "Yeah." And I'm thinking, a clown? I go, "No, you want to be a dentist." Because my friends that were dentists worked 3 days a week, had 4 days off, and loved their lives. And so she's like, "I don't want to be a dentist." It's like, "What's a dentist?" And I'm like, "You know, when you go get your teeth." And she's like, "I don't want to do that." And then as I grew with my kids, I go, she just wants to do something that makes her happy. Mm-hmm. Why do I need to shape that for her? Yeah. Why do I need to tell her what I think is great?
Yeah.
And so I learned to live and let live just through that experience alone. That I knew that to my daughter, not only her being happy, she wanted to be in a happy environment. That meant a lot to her. Mm-hmm. And she liked to see an end result, meaning everyone left with their party bag, you know? Mm-hmm. So let's fast forward. She's 30 now. And what did she end up doing? She loves chaos. She loves pressure to get something done. And then she loves to see an end product. Everyone leaves happy with a party bag, right? Just through following her trail of what she loved all along in life, every single day in the moment, not waiting for next month to be happy, not waiting till you make money to be happy, not waiting till you get whatever it is to be happy. She was happy today. Mm-hmm. She ended up in the weirdest way. She was a psych major in school. She ended up taking an internship in commercials, making commercials. And she's like, "Mom, all those actors and actresses from, you know, when I was a kid on the Disney Channel are coming to me for a job." And I'm like, "Wow, what was that?" And she ended up loving the creativity of it. She likes being behind the scenes. So what did that translate into? She translated to being in post-production on movies. And she gets the end product, which is the show. Mm-hmm. That's her party bag. It's the same formula she lived in at four. But now as an adult, what did that ended up looking like? And she loves it. She works way too many hours. So this COVID time gave her time to explore life in other ways, but she's doing the same thing, the same model.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting, our mind.
I love how you mentioned, or you made a point to say how she was happy in the moment and she didn't wait to be happy. And that is how it unfolded for her.
Yes, postponing happiness is a real thing. Postponing happiness, waiting until, and you know, we have not been taught to our best advantage. We're taught to look at your past and look at everything that was wrong instead of what was right. And you're gonna fix it in your future. So then we live our lives on our way from the past to the future. And every day is just like this stepping stone instead of the day it should be, right? Mm-hmm. But how do we get out of that? How do I, if I'm living in my gonna be great future, do I understand that today? So I always say, what you've done today is your future. What I'm doing right now is my future. If I put things off today, that probably going to put things off tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. If I wait to get dressed up and I stay in my sweats all the time, if I get dressed up, that's going to feel like I'm wearing a costume. It's not going to even feel normal to me. So then I'm going to want to keep going back to the sweats. It's an interesting thing, but Whatever you think you want, start doing it today. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, a schedule, just like a list or something like that. Whatever it takes to get you motivated to reel your future into today. To put your future in reverse, because it can't come without you doing what you're doing today.
Yeah. They say, you have to change yourself to grow into the person that will create. How do we frame this? Like, back in the day, let's just say when I was 16, 17, and I was waking up late, smoking weed, and then going to school, and then coming home, smoking more weed, not doing my homework. That was not getting me A's. Nowadays, I wake up early, I go to work, I come back, I work on my business, and then for hours, I work out, and go to sleep. That action, that involvement of the person who I became is what led me to the more success that I've been receiving.
It's as a mom, and I'm listening to you, I'm like so proud of you. And I love people in the younger years. I love working with them. I love being around them because we can influence each other, because you're still taking in, hey, you know what? How do I want to live? And, you know, when somebody is just there and gives you an idea, and I may give you 50 and you take one, what happens to our brain is the sense of completion. So like, if you said you want to wake up early, that's all you said is, I want to wake up early. And then you wake up early the next day. Your brain goes, oh, wow, this person can listen to themselves. Let me give them something else to do. And so now you're thinking, oh, and I did want to clean that drawer, but I don't have time. But you know what? I can make time. It's only going to take 10 minutes. And then you clean the drawer. What happens to your brain is while you're cleaning that drawer, it starts to organize itself the way you are organizing the drawer. It throws out what you don't need, it brings in what you do need, and then you don't even know why, but once you clean that drawer, you feel so good. You're like, oh my God, why didn't I do that before? I have all this space in there and I have things I want to put in it that I don't want on top of the dresser. And you just start going. But like my daughter had that same working model of an end result from her current work and whatever it was that she was doing every day in her life. That's what happens to our brains. Our brain every day when we wake up. Now it's used to waking up early. Now it's saying, ooh, what am I gonna do with myself today, you know? And there's an interaction between your heart and your brain because now your heart's feeling better. Mm-hmm. Because now we're not feeling anxious. And anxiety is like the syndrome of this period of time in our history. It's huge, and it can rob you of your life. Mm-hmm. It is the robber without a gun. It will take your life away from you and keep you in fear, doubt, worry, control, and guilt of yourself. Yeah. And then you wonder why you're spinning. Because mm-hmm. there's nowhere to go. But once you start listening to yourself, if I could say, what is the most single important thing I would do as a child, I would wish someone told me as a young adult, is what I pushed my kids with, was learn to do what you say and say what you do.
Definitely, that's amazing advice. Yeah, I think when people do what they say they're gonna do, they feel like Like, I always tell people, treat yourself like you would treat your best friend. And if you don't do that, then you're letting yourself down. And then you just let yourself down over and over and over again. That's not a good feeling. It's basically almost like telling yourself empty promises. And that's no way to treat yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't trust yourself, who can trust you?
Mm-hmm.
So. Because then we get really mad when someone else says, well, you never say what you're going to do. We get mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, oh my God, that's actually true. Like,
yeah.
Wow, I really do that. But that self-accounting.
Yeah, I think self-discipline and taking ownership of your actions are just life-changing. I think those are like the two pillars that I think really can help transform someone. I think for me personally, it started with the idea of wanting to really started with my decision to not live in pain anymore. Then I'm like, okay, how am I going to do that? I started like going to the beach. Once I started having more free time, I was like, okay, so what do I really actually want to do? I started realizing, okay, I should have a blog and a podcast. Once I started having a blog and a podcast, I started getting more discipline, like sleeping and stuff like that. Eventually, I was like eating a little better. And then I'm like, I should go to the gym. Like, I'm eating good. Like, why don't I like really do the works? So it's just like, it's like a waterfall effect. But once you start somewhere, it grows.
It does grow. And it's like, it feeds, just like, it's like positive makes more positive. And negative will make more negative. So you gotta like ask yourself questions. I teach a class on self-love because I found out that if you don't love you, you're not gonna love anybody else. You're gonna be the one picking on everyone else. But really it's because you're picking on yourself, right? It's never about the other people. People are gonna come and go. It's you who's everywhere with you. So you gotta learn to live with you. And how do you, again, want to live? If we can answer questions to ourselves, we don't need anyone else's validation to tell us we're on the right track. We always do that when we don't know who we are well enough, that when someone else tells us what to do, we listen. But they don't know everything about us.
Yeah, and not only that, but a lot of people will only tell you things based off their experience. So it can range so much between different people. So that's why self-awareness is really crucial when it comes to these kinds of things.
It is critical because the only person who has been with you since you've been born is you. So whatever has come and gone, whoever has come and gone, whatever voice you hear in your head, whether it was an insult or a compliment that you've learned to live by, nobody knows that space. That's the stuff that we don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't talk about it, somebody else can't know it. So if they make a decision for us and we try to do it and we can't figure out why it's not working for us, it's because it's not our decision in the first place. That's why when we try to please others, it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating at best because we're not pleased and we're killing ourselves to get someone to just nod at us and tell us great.
Mm-hmm.
But when we say, wow, I really love what I've done, that has power.
Yeah.
I don't care if you scrubbed a floor and you kept going back and saying, look at how shiny that floor is. Our brain needs to see us start and finish things.
Definitely.
Because that sense of completion will start growing. Because now you say, well, I started it and I finished it. A floor you could do in a day, but you use that same process for school. I started school and I'll finish in 4 years, or I'll finish in 2 years, or I'm learning this trade, I'll finish in a year. But wow, a year out of my whole life, and I'll learn how to do this. And I really want to know how to do this.
Definitely. Yeah, I think, like you said, starting something and completing it is so powerful. I think when it comes to that feeling that's like, I did this, that's so great for your self-confidence. And you know you're capable of finishing things. And then after a while, it's like, oh yeah, I got that in the bag.
Well, you start choosing differently. Because now you start saying things like, what do I want to put my time in? Exactly. Because now your time is valuable. Mm-hmm. You feel more valuable to yourself because you know that you're capable of doing what you set your mind to. And then you start challenging yourself. You start saying, oh, I could try this now. I could try. And you stop saying things like, well, they got that because they were lucky. You stop saying things like, well, they had money or their parents support or, you know, whatever reason we decide to use to protect ourselves from believing that we can do something instead of we can't.
Yeah. Definitely.
Then you got to say, wow, you know, if you hear that voice saying, well, they're only doing it because, say, wait a minute, I'm trying to trick myself right now. That's not very nice to do to me. You know, have those conversations, because the best conversations are the ones you have for and with yourself. And one way to do that, and it's something that changed my life, literally changed my life, is when I would go on walks, I would put my phone on the voice recorder, and I know this is going to sound funny, and it may or may not work. I've never not seen it work. I've been asking people to do it, especially when I know they're on the brink of getting to who they are, because I love that part, right? And I'm like, oh, they're ready. And I tell them, you go for a walk. Put that voice recorder on. You're not going to look weird. It's going to look like you're talking on the phone, which you are. And talk to God. Just talk to God or whatever you believe in. Even if it's like your best friend, talk to them. And don't try to plan what you're going to talk about. Just start talking. Oh, today is May 22nd, 2020. And today I woke up and this is what I did. And all of a sudden, you're going to start to see the stuff you always think about come out. And then when you turn around to come back home from your walk, stop recording and then listen to it on your way back. It is the most sobering thing to hear your voice. And then you're like, wow, I sound like a person. You know, because we exempt ourselves from the people pool. It's really funny. Because we're in our own heads, we think no one can see us. But we can see everyone and what people tell us, but now we sound like those people. We've just upped our value to ourselves that we sound like one of our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something you said in one of our conversations, because I know we speak, and once you and I start talking, we don't stop, and we're like, oh my gosh, we got to do the interview. But you do become your own best friend, and that's how.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go out the next day and do it again, you're going to talk knowing that you're going to hear yourself, but you can't hide from your truth. Like, hey, I did that because I wanted attention. Well, why did I want attention? Well, I didn't feel like I'm being recognized. Well, why am I not being recognized? Well, maybe it's because I don't recognize myself. I tell people, oh, I don't matter. I tell people that they matter more than I do. So that's why they treat me that way. You start to see that. And as you hear it, you start having compassion for your own soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, I guess I'm sensitive in that spot. You know, I should pay attention to why. Why do I do that to myself? And you start answering those questions. And so, you know, if you do that for like 7 days, every time you run into a wall, you'll start doing it because you know you need to hear yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. I feel like that would be very therapeutic. And you can hear yourself in a sense, like you said, be your own friend and acknowledge the things that are going on in your head.
it's so valuable, because you know how you start talking to yourself after doing that? You start talking to yourself the way you do talk to your friends. Like, maybe I should do this, and you learn to take your own advice. And I will guarantee you, the first time you actually really take your own advice, your life changes. Whoever you were before you did that is who you were, because it will never be who you are again.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And just to add to that, I think that we're always changing. I think some people, maybe not changing is a good word, evolving. And so, like, I like to think that who we are as in the place that we are right now isn't the same place as we were maybe last year or like a few years ago. And some people maybe would say, like I hear you've changed for the worse or you've changed for the better. But I really don't think that such things change, because we're still the same person. Just mm-hmm. We just grew. We either just found some peace in ourselves. We learned more about ourselves through the experiences that we go through. And then it helps us realize things. It helps us acknowledge maybe our passion or how to bring us forward. And so we didn't really change. We just grew.
We do. We're growing every day. Even like for us in this interview, you know, I listen to you talk. I like the way you put things together. And I'm like, wow, that's a great way. Wow, she knows that. Oh, that's great that she thinks, you know, these things are the things that are going through my mind, right? So I'm going to get off this interview and I'm going to feel like that was great, that I feel more happy, more I feel better about our world, that younger people are thinking these things like, wow, how did she figure that out? I didn't figure that out till I was 40, you know, stuff like that. And then I leave having greater faith in younger people. I leave feeling like I can push their buttons further, because I know that yours can be pushed further to keep honing that good that's in us. Because we have been taught that if someone says you've changed, that's a negative thing. So we try to change without changing. It's like this game we have to play. But really, we're just transitioning every day, because the minute you get new information, it's like a recipe. You might be making something and you have all these different parts that you're doing, and then someone says, oh, you could skip three of those and just do this. And now you can cook faster. You know, it's not like an all-day project and the whole sink is filled with pots and pans and you're just like, I can't do that every day. Yeah. But if you have a system, you can. If you make like one big pot of rice on Sunday, you can eat rice for the whole week without having to make rice again, you know, stuff like that. You start learning as we grow. And those changes, no one looks at as change, because it's positive. Mm-hmm. So when we say someone's changed, we kind of say, wow, you've changed. And we're like, no, I didn't. I just got better. I feel better.
Yeah.
And then you realize that, well, maybe they don't want to even do that. And so I would, if someone says that to me, ask, does it bother you that I've changed in your eyes? You know, what do you think is different? Because it was hard for me to change. I was looking forward to this change. I worked hard for this change.
Yeah.
You know, and let them know that. You may not realize it at the time, but you just gave them a gift. Because they may like push it away because they accepted, I call it the excuse buffet, all their excuses for not facing their own changes. Because we're not here to stay the same. If we were, our bodies wouldn't be aging every day.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, a baby, the minute it's born, begins aging.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way it is. I mean, I wake up some days and I go, how did I become 58? My brain is still the same. Uh-huh. My body may have changed. I can tell when it does because I do work out. And I do eat well, but I've done it all my life. It's not like I do it to keep my weight down or whatever. I just really love doing it. Mm-hmm. Because I found something out. My secret to my life was that if I just recognize and pull out what's negative, I ended up having more energy to work out, more energy to plan meals, more energy to enjoy my kids while I had them in my home. Mm-hmm. I got to live in the moment because I realized I don't thrive on negative energy. Some people do. Some people need someone to like hit them with a whip before they'll do something. But I was the complete opposite. It used to drag me down because I would get all involved in it and try to fix it.
Yeah.
And my biggest, I want to say, downfall in my own mind was that I couldn't fix everybody. But I realized that maybe I could offer what I've learned and it'll reach the people who need it. And then they can fly with it and they can be an example to their world.
Yeah.
So I just found another way to do it. But I knew that I couldn't keep it close to me because it did drain me.
Yeah, that's such good advice. That's really great advice. I too am the same way when it comes to people around me who are just situations. I like to fix things. I always like to help people feel better. I want to just do everything I can to resolve the situation, and it really tires me out. So I think one of the things that really helped me was learning, and I'm still in the process, but I'm learning how to accept people for who they are.
And believe who they are. Because if I'm gonna be on this track where I really do just wanna be happy, I can accept being happy. Okay, because that's also another learning, is actually to accept being happy without thinking the other shoe's going to drop because you're happy. I didn't even know that existed till I started working with people. So we have to accept that, you know, I really do want to be happy. I'm not looking for it tomorrow. I want it today. I want to be able to breathe. Because anxiety roots itself in our fear of the future. That's the root. Because if we're not taking care of this today, we know we're not going to take care of it tomorrow. So it's tomorrow scares us.
Yeah.
But the minute we start taking care of today, we don't need anxiety to do that for us anymore. So now we've just marginalized anxiety in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. Being in the moment isn't just the saying, and it is not easy to do. I had to really learn how to be in the moment, not by, okay, I'm in the moment now, I get it, everybody's here, I'm here. I can't do it like that. I just have to remind myself sometimes of what doesn't matter that I'm carrying.
Yeah.
Oh, but that really, how much does that matter? In a year from now, am I going to remember that or care about it? So I learned to distinguish the difference between a lesson and a destination. A destination is where I want to be. A lesson may be something that has to teach me something to get me there. But sometimes we think the lessons are the destinations. Like we may be with a boyfriend that we know we can't see a future with because we're scared to be alone. I hear that a lot from girls, young girls. And I say, why are you scared to be alone? But that feeling of that deep sense of safety, emotional safety, wasn't there. So I would see if it was because they never had it or because they don't have it in the situation, in the relationship. And I found out it was actually a 50-50. Sometimes the person themselves couldn't feel it. And once they could feel it, they could appreciate their partner. And other times, they really just, it was like a great for now, but not forever, but too scary to look at that fact.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to me, the questions, the better your questions are, the harder they are to answer. We shouldn't be scared to ask or answer them.
Exactly. It's so wise to confront the big things. Then you will understand yourself. And really, I think it's such a liberating feeling to get to the root of things that are causing maybe havoc or distress in your life, or even just thoughts that play on your head over and over and over again, because then they just get louder. So it's really good to ask yourself these questions. And I love what you said about, is this going to matter in 1 year or 5 years, or lessons in the destination? I mean, just for example, there was one time in high school, things were just so challenging at the time. I mean, it would be challenging for anyone, but going through those times of like bullying and family problems and just like the stir fry of challenges, I really just didn't want to live anymore. And so to me, that was the destination. And I just felt hopeless. And now I look back and I'm like, that was the lesson. That was the lesson. But in the moment, it felt like a destination. So it is so important to realize there are, they may be really challenging, bumpy roads or blocks in the roads, but ultimately it's for your highest good. And there is, I like to believe that there is a purpose in the things that we go through.
Oh, always. Everything you go through is meant to grow your strength. If you're gaining fear from it, it's because our ego, you know, we're encouraged. They're like, oh, she's so sweet. She worries all the time about everybody. Oh, they're so scared of everything and everyone babies you. You know, no one is like, oh, you know, she has an issue with that or he has an issue with that. And we never allow people to grow. We actually cuddle and nurture people's pain. So in some ways, we're encouraged in indirect ways to keep that pain. Like, wow, you know, they're never going to make it in life. We got to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true. That's a lie. Anyone can make it in life. But one of our issues as people is that there is no emotional education. We are taught everything but ourselves. We're taught how to be in the world, but not how to manage money. We're taught to be healthy, but not how to eat. We have to seek this information out. And a lot of it is stuff we were just taught every day through osmosis, just being in whatever environment we were in. And it doesn't occur to us to look up a better life. That's a pretty broad Google search, better life. But we weren't taught emotional education.
I heard in a video I was watching that if you only do standard education, you will only get standard results. And the best education that you can do is into yourself, learning about yourself and investing in your future. I think books are an amazing investment because it's me too. I feel like it's just a syringe of knowledge going into your brain.
And you get to communicate with someone who wrote that book. I know now because I've had 3 published books, but I've written 5. And when I write them, there's like this magic that happens while you're writing. And it's almost like you have an idea, but now your writing is teaching you. It's one of the most incredible experiences. It happens to people that are painting and they may have an idea in their head, and when it's done, they're like, wow, that's way bigger than I thought. It, because it's like your energy, positive begets positive. It just, we are all capable of that. What breaks my heart as a person is someone that no one said that to, that no one told them, that no one encouraged that part of us. Because everyone is quick to say, no, you can't do that. You're gonna do that? Holy cow, let me know when that happens. Someone told me that with my first book, a publisher. And they said to me, if you ever get this book published, you just let me know. You know what I did? I can't even remember the last name of the publisher, the last name of the person. I can't even remember the company because I thought, well, they're not my answer. Instead of listening to what they said, because I knew that my first book was way ahead of its time in how we deal with ourselves emotionally, because we were encouraged that you're either with us or against us. But then we thought that with ourselves, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to stand out. Oh, nobody will understand this. But to me, it was nobody would understand this yet. But they'll grow into it. Mm-hmm. Here I am, 14 years after the first book was published, and my book is selling more now than it did when I wrote it.
Yeah.
There's a book that I published in 2007. I'm still sending Amazon books. And that was, when was that, 13 years ago? But they did just start getting it. It does now make sense. Mm-hmm. At the time, it made sense to me one way, but now I read my own book because I'm like, wow, what I thought then when I wrote it means something even deeper now because I've seen it play out in life differently. But we are so capable that when we tell ourselves we're not, it's not that we're mad at the world, we're mad at ourselves for not believing us. Mm-hmm. That's the part, that's the what I always call it, the trick, double trick, you know? I'm not mad at you, I'm mad at me, but the way I justify my mad at me is by getting mad at you and then blaming the world for my problems.
Yeah.
Works for a while, I guess, it does. It can work for a lifetime if you tried hard enough.
Yeah, taking ownership of your life is, I think it's a very surreal feeling when you realize that you do create your life through your words and your thoughts and your actions. And it's,
we do, mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah. And I think like, once we realize that and it really starts to sink in, we start doing a lot of inner reflection. And then, be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself through this process. And then think, what do you, like we were talking about, what do you really want to do? Create that with your thoughts, your words, and your actions.
Yeah, and pay attention to what you feel. There's a question I got asked once, and I ask it of myself at different times in my life, because we do change. Whether we want to or not, we're changing, right? And it's like, who would you be if everyone you knew didn't know you? How would you describe yourself? What would you be doing? What would you be driving? Where would you be living? What kind of clothes would you be wanting to wear? Who would you be if everyone that you now know didn't know you? And you'll find out that's who you really are. And if you're not, if you're not that person you just answered the question with, instead of saying, well, who am I to do that? Say, how will I do that? Instead of no, say how.
Definitely. Definitely. And I just had a memory pop up of, and I just want to say how you were talking about the publisher didn't see a value in your first book. I think that when someone has something that they truly believe in, whether it's a product or an idea, if they truly believe in it, I think that they should keep going and keep moving, no matter how long it takes, and someone will find value in it.
Right.
Yeah.
You just have to find, you know, my son is autistic, and I never told him he was autistic. I just raised him. I went to school. I learned how to teach him. I spent a lot of time with him, but I never told him. And he loved baseball. And people were like, yeah, you know, it's a great pastime. He said, no, I want to go pro. And everyone, you know, you can imagine what he got. But he never listened. If someone told him that he should have a plan B, he just didn't talk to them again. Because the autistic mind is so efficient that he didn't think of it as they said no to him. He thought of it of, wow, they don't believe in dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And so he didn't want to talk to them because he didn't feel he had anything in common with them, because he did believe in dreams and they didn't. This was as a child. He ended up becoming the first autistic professional baseball player in history, and he got signed by the Kansas City Royals in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of the string of no's he got. So when he was trying out for an indie ball team, one of the reporters, who was only like a couple years older than he was, and we were in Georgetown, Delaware, which is such a small town, that the news crew had to come in from Maryland to interview the independent league that he was trying out for. This is prior to being, before he went into the pro league. And what happened was the guy asked him, you know, what kept you going with everyone saying no all the time? And until he did that interview, I mean, I never thought to ask him the question because I watched him all my life. But he said something I never forgot, and I think of it almost every day in my life. And he said, I only needed one yes. Mm-hmm. And he knew that he would get a one yes, at least in this world. He just had to keep trying.
Yeah.
And he got a one yes. He made that team the next day. They did, and he didn't want to do the interview because they didn't do the draft yet, so he didn't even know if he was going to make it or not. So he got signed. Then he played in upstate New York for 2 years. And then, you know, someone on the Royals found out about him, and it just snowballed from there.
Mm-hmm.
But he always knew. So whenever someone tried to attack what he knew or devalue what he knew, or make him feel like what he knew wasn't worth knowing, he just thought they didn't believe in dreams, as opposed to thinking, oh, I don't like them or I like them. He didn't have that judgment. He just had the objectivity of not wanting to be around people who couldn't see that, because he needed that to be able to do what he wanted to do. This is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think knowing what you want to do is so powerful, so powerful. I mean, metaphysically and also physically.
Mm-hmm. We walk different. When we listen to ourselves, we walk straighter, taller, we clean ourselves better. We know that taking care of ourselves will take care of everything else. Yeah. We're nicer, we're kind. We offer ourselves to help because we know that we've helped ourselves. We completely, everything changes about us. And it doesn't happen in a switch. It's not one day. It evolves and it looks different every single day. And your life really does stay interesting. Yeah. It really does, because you start meeting people because you recognize who they are because you've recognized who you were. And you may start outgrowing maybe your job, or you may start outgrowing certain things because you're just evolving. I mean, that's what we're here to do.
Definitely, definitely. My boyfriend has been in his career for over 15 years, and now he's starting a side hustle. And he tells me he loves his job, but he really wants the financial freedom of his side hustle. And he's like conflicted, and it's just, he's starting to feel and understand his heart, what feels good to him. And so even though he's been at his career for 15 years, he understands that this isn't a forever thing anymore. Even if he intended it to be at the beginning, he grew.
He just outgrew it. It's like, we don't stay in kindergarten forever. Mm-hmm. Once they teach us kindergarten, we're excited to go to first grade. And then we're excited to be with the eighth graders and we graduate. And then we start high school and then we're like, oh, look at the seniors. Look at how confident they are. I want to be them. And I'm like, but guaranteed you will be them. Just give yourself a few years.
Yeah.
Then you get there. And then you get out of high school and you can decide what to do. So it's always mapped out for us to grow. So then once we get out and we do something for 15 years, let's say like your boyfriend is, how is he not gonna grow? We've been growing. What do? Just turn off the grow switch?
Yeah.
We can't. And so it's natural, but again, we're looked at as, well, why did you change? You had stability, you had insurance, you had this, you had that, and people start talking to you like that. And some people get scared back into where they were. And other people say, but I can do better than that. And I can buy my own insurance. And I'll money's just a tool. All I have to do is figure out how I can make it and enjoy my life.
Yeah.
More. Because that's the balance, right? That's what we're doing all our lives. But if we treat it as scary, it's going to be scary. If we treat it as possible, it's going to be possible. If you can see it, again, if you can see, what will you be wearing? What will you be driving? Where will you be living? How will you be talking? How would you treat your kids? If you can see that, you take the time to actually see that person, now you know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a magic trick.
Totally. And the mind, like you said, works in such fascinating ways.
Oh, our brains fascinate me. I could sit and in a public place. I know now with COVID, that hasn't been I haven't been able to do it because nobody's out. But I love sitting outside and watching people. And if I had a whole day, I can talk to each person and change their lives in that day, just by waking a certain part of them up, because just by watching someone walk, I know what they're thinking. I can't help it. It's a gift. I wish I knew how I do it, but I do it. And by now, at this point in my life, when I have someone come back to me years later and go, what made you say that? And I'm like, you made me say that.
Mm-hmm.
It was what you told me. It was how you were walking. It was how you were talking. I don't say that exact way to everybody, but now I've seen some commonalities to where I videotaped classes and teaching self-love. I did one for parents because your relationship with your kids, can change both of your lives. It can heal your childhood and it can also bring out the best in them.
Mm-hmm.
But how does that look? What do you do? How does that family look? And I did a whole 8-part series. I spent a year filming those things because I thought, oh my God, if I die, this dies with me. That's not fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. But no one should die if there are gifts inside of them.
No, we leave those behind and we go on. But You know, we only need them when we're here in this way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if we do that, then death, I think death is a very scary thing for so many people. And I acknowledge that. I really do. I just don't think that it's something that we really should be afraid of. Because like we've been saying, we grow. We're constantly growing. And I think death is just another cycle as is being born. And if we get out all of our truths and we follow our passion, then we're not leaving anything on the table, then what is there to be afraid of?
That's, if you get my books or you find out more about me, there's things and reasons why I do what I do. And because of that, I don't fear death. And because I don't fear death, I'm allowed to live, right? Because the biggest fear is dying. You know, oh, I'll starve to death if I do that job. Oh, I'll never get this. Oh, you know, we'd like, and that whole tape just takes us down. And it can do it like that. You know, I mean, you could be in the best mood and then you think why you didn't do something and you could be like, oh, yeah, well, that's just me. No, that's not just you. But if you're scared of everything you're going to lose, then you can't actually live. Mm-hmm. Because you can't handle the leveraging.
Yeah, totally.
So I always say, what is the worst case scenario? Play it through your head. Accept it. See how you would do it so that you can't fear it anymore. And then that's from where you bounce from. I'll be okay even if this doesn't work out. Yeah. And if it doesn't work out, I may find a better way along the way instead of I'll be upset, I'll get depressed, you know, like you're just hedging from being depressed. Mm-hmm. That's not a way that you're going to get past it or in it or enjoying it. You have to know that you can handle whatever the answer is.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you did your best.
Yeah, totally.
Because that may lead you to where you really belong and you just didn't know that yet.
Totally. I'll give an example for that. I was terrified of leaving my family because my dad was the person I grew up with. He was like the one figure in my life that was really always there. And I just felt like I couldn't leave my siblings. I felt like I needed to take care of them and stuff like that. But then, and I'm like, oh, I have my home here. Like, I've lived here like my whole life. And then I decided, you know, crashing point came and I had to leave. I knew in my heart I had to, because the way I was living wasn't healthy. And then when I got in my new environment, I changed, transformed for the better. And I had to lose everything to, not lose, but in a sense, you know what I mean. I had to lose everything that I knew and I was used to realize that that's freedom. That's freedom right there.
It is freedom. It's like you're like, wow, I made it. You know, it's like you came out the other side and you're like, whoa, wait, I'm still standing, you know? And it's such a empowering moment. Mm-hmm. But once you know that, you can't not know it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you build on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're interviewing me now.
Yeah. It's funny how things work. I mean, life moves on. Life moves on. I was just thinking about how, like, in poor areas, I saw, like, I don't remember exactly, but I think I saw this research that said in some poorer areas, people tend to be generally happier than, like some of the very wealthy areas. And I remember I was talking to my dad about it and he was like, I was like, why? I think I was really young and I was like, why would people be happier? And he's like, because they have less to worry about, less expectations. And so that's just food for thought.
Expectation has a way of ruining things. But if you just understand that you are here to live and to do your best every day, whatever your best is that day, you can actually be happy no matter where you're at. One of the hardest things for people with money is that they really believe that having it would make them happy. And then they get there and they're like, my personality didn't change. I'm not any happier.
Mm-hmm.
We may be able to postpone facing ourselves easier, poor, because we say, well, I don't have to deal with that now because I can't do anything about it. And it's true for people who have money. They can postpone themselves too by saying, well, I'll just go buy this today. I'll just go do that today. And we all have our sense of distraction. But one of the most beautiful things I think happens when there's less money in a family is that they spend more time together. There's less rooms for people to hide in, where you don't know your kid's been doing something for 2 years or until they're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't go to that part of the house or you don't go in their room.
Yeah.
And when they come out, they seem normal. So it's, you know, there's something I always say, it's never about the money. It's how we accept to live. And I've always loved homes where from the kitchen, I can see my family. I want to see my family. Don't want to be away from them and, you know, Calgon, take me away. I want to be with my family.
Yeah.
I want to eat with them. I want to go out with them. I want to talk to them. And then when we need our space, everyone just kind of does their own thing, but we know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. When that's missing, then the money stuff starts coming into play differently, because now it's either because of the money or not because of the money, but you know what I'm saying? But it's a personality. That family is an energy. They do things a certain way that either empowers them or devalues them.
Definitely, definitely. In general, when I lived in Redondo Beach, so Redondo Beach is an upscale community as well, but then I moved to Palos Verdes, which is even more upscale. And I realized, like, these kids have even more problems than the kids in Redondo Beach. And I was like, huh. Interesting. So
different problems, right? It's like every economic place on the ladder has its own issues, because when you go to really repressed areas or depressed areas, you have families where the parents aren't home because they're working two jobs.
Yeah.
And then they're left looking for protection from each other, however that happens. All the way to someone whose family has so much money that they're never there.
Mm-hmm.
The parents are never there. So you have two different cases of the parents not being present, but it brings out different kinds of problems.
Yeah.
And you know, again, never about the money. We all are going to have a challenge. There isn't a human on this earth that isn't going to have a problem or a challenge. We would be lying to say that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
But it's how we deal with those issues that differentiates us. Because we have choices.
Yeah.
And once we make a choice, now our brain starts helping us create that choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, when we make a choice, we have to figure out what actions we're going to take to fulfill that choice. And that's why I think making choices are a great way to start something, mm-hmm. to go in a new direction.
Yeah. Even if it's just following the schedule and you never did before, just see what that feels like. You may like it. Mm-hmm. Or you may go, oh, wow, I am definitely not that person. I need a very loose way of doing things. And there's jobs that need people like that.
Yeah.
And there's jobs that can't come near you with a 10-foot pole, like they just can't. But you need to know that about you so you know going in, what would be best for me? Like if I had a job and I did this and this really happened to me. I was a single mom at the time and my kids were little. And I knew I needed the kind of job that I would be like, I could drive around all day. I can pick up my kids from school. I can still do the things I needed to do for my house and work my job. And I just wrote down what I needed from a job. And then I went to this job agency to help, to give them this information so they can help me find a job. Do you know what happened? The agency I went to help me find a job was the job. And they hired me. Oh. And I was an outdoor sales rep for them. And I got to raise my kids. I had a good enough salary. I got to not move from my house, keep them in their school after my divorce. And I had the flexibility of my time during the day. But because I planned out my day, I knew that my morning was going to be my hot time. And so I would go see all the clients in that time because I knew in the afternoon I'd have to like get my kids and do this and do that. And it actually made me a better employee just because I had to have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
But that taught me to have a plan. It was after that. I wrote my books after 40.
Mm-hmm.
I created a whole new life after 40. When people are winding down, I felt like I just started life.
Yeah.
And I did, actually. And I did leave a secure job to write my books. And I did suffer for it. But not as bad as I would have suffered staying and wishing that I was doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
That would have been worse. So I did take the hit. I did. But I vowed to myself, I will never let it affect my children. And they never knew until they got older what I went through financially.
Yeah.
To get us to where we're at.
Definitely. Yeah, it's never too late to pursue, to be who you want to be. Never too late.
And knowing that, what we do, what we decide to do, creates an energy. If you're moving forward and not facing or living in fear, and you are facing challenge, that's what my kids learned from me. Even though I never told them, oh, well, I'm facing my fear and I'm living my challenge and I don't have any money right now.
Mm-hmm.
Never told them that. But they saw the fighter in me, and both of them are fighters now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the stuff we pick up through osmosis. That's the stuff we just pick up because we're there.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're like, how were you that happy when all this was going on? And I said, I didn't focus on it. I just found a way to plug the holes along the way. Because those holes were just temporary. But what I wanted to do was my destination. And I knew it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I knew it by the decisions I made every day because of it.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me feel good. Better than all the stuff it was taking away. But it made me feel good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think doing what makes you feel good is probably one of the most important things in life.
It's the game changer. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's so amazing that you overcame a lot of challenges and set such a good example for your kids.
I hope for everyone, because I was that person that couldn't speak the language as a child, even though I was born here. And it took me till 5 years old to speak English. And even then, I wasn't that good at it till about six. And I was that person who thought everyone knew something I didn't know. I was the person who thought everyone was smarter than I was. I was that person. Mm-hmm. And when I look at that person, I'm like, wow, you did the best you could with that. Mm-hmm. But I loved people. And I realized everything I did was because I wanted to feel close to people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wanted to be a broadcast journalist. And my mom said, no, no one will hire you. And I listened to her and I became a business major and a stockbroker, which was the furthest thing away from who I am. I lasted 4 years trading financial products. Mm-hmm. But why did I want to be a broadcast journalist? Because to me, being in a small town off of Chicago, Illinois, that was my way, my brain's way of helping people. And I wrote for a local newspaper. And I wrote for our high school newspaper. And I wrote a column called Bits and Pieces. And by the time I was 40, I was writing books. Never left. Even though it got detoured because I was a people pleaser. And I did want my parents to think, oh, look, she listened to me and she's successful and she's doing great. Because I didn't want them to worry on my behalf. But then I realized, you know, our parents grow older. I don't have either of my parents now. And now I feel like saying to them, hey, check this out. I did end up doing what I love. And I found a way to live and do it. Took me a while, was ugly along the way, but those ugly times are the best stories ever. They're the best stories of my life.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. You can have such a challenging moment, and it, depending on your attitude and your optimism, it could be still one of the best days of your life.
They are the best days. Mm-hmm. Someone telling us no, I have turned that around in my mind to wow. Just I'm sorry I can feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if anyone watching this, whatever they leave with today, I hope it's themselves that they leave with.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are your final messages for listeners that you really, really want them to leave with?
If you ever underestimate yourself in your own mind, please tell yourself that that's a lie. That's a lie. And then tell yourself, I don't want to lie to myself anymore. And I don't want to be scared of my own gifts.
Yeah. Thank you. That's very powerful. Very powerful. So my final question is my signature question. What does the universe mean to you?
It means love. It means love.
Yeah.
Because without it, we have nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great answer. I love that. Well, thank you so much, Nadia, for sharing your insight and your value. Where can people find you online?
Nadia Khalil, I'm everywhere. I do a radio show 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, although next week I'll be off and they'll be doing reruns. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. And then I have a website, NadiaKhalil.com, and my books and my story and all that is there. There is a surprise to the story, which we didn't talk about here, and this wasn't the place for it, but why and what started me working with people the way I do now.
Awesome.
So have fun if you explore a little bit further than today.
Awesome. And I'll include more links in the description as well.
That would be cool. Have fun.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Nadia.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for finding me, because you are a gem in this world, and I really do love knowing you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Nadia Khalil. Check out the links in the description or visit www.nadiakhalil.com to learn more. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe and share it with your friends and family. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review and a rating. I really appreciate it. You can sponsor this podcast by donating a small monthly fee at dearlovelyuniverse.com/support. You can find me at Dear Lovely Universe on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Next week's episode will be a Get to Know Me discussion. You'll get the chance to learn more about me, things that you might not know. I'm really excited, and I hope to see you then.